This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News Program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be His servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance.
Hello again. This is Reverend Caesar, and it's always a pleasure to be in your home on a God's blessed Sunday evening to bring the good news. I love bringing good news. And I keep on saying for many, many episodes that you could not have lived in the Ming Dynasty and been a bearer of bad news. You could not. So I really like this good news. This is good news. I pray that this message today would be a blessing to you. I think you should really also contact your friends and your loved ones to have them listen and be blessed. And if there are anything that I can do for you in the way of prayer, please feel free to send me an email or call. My number is right there and my email address is right there. I would be delighted to pray for you and to counsel you. So sit back, listen, and may God richly bless you with today's message. I want to talk to you today from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 21. And this is very enlightening and very vital. And today's topic is going to be one thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. And it reads, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do thou that I may inherit eternal life? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The young man who asked this question was a ruler. He had great possessions and occupied a position of responsibility. He saw the love that Christ manifested towards the children brought to him. He saw how tenderly he received them and took them up in his arms, and his heart kindled with love for the Savior. And so he felt a desire to be his disciple. He was so deeply moved that as Christ was going on his way, he ran after him and kneeling at his feet, asked with sincerity and earnestness the questions so important to his soul and to the soul of every human being. Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God only. Jesus desired to test the ruler's sincerity and to draw from him the way in which he regarded him as good. Did he realize that the one to whom he was speaking was the Son of God? What was the true sentiment of his heart? So we get in somewhere. This ruler, he had a high estimate of his own righteousness. He did not really suppose that he was defective in anything, yet he was not altogether satisfied. So he felt that he wanted something that he did not possess. And we all have that feeling. Could not Jesus bless him as he blessed the little children and satisfy his soul want? Jesus kept him there for him, the ruler, to bring out his true desire. And so in reply to this question, Jesus told him that obedience to the commandments of God was necessary if he would obtain eternal life. And he quoted several of the commandments which show man's duty to this fellow man and to his fellow men. The ruler's answer was positive. He said, Lord, all those things I have kept from my youth up. So what do I lack now, Lord? What I lack now? What do I lack? Christ looked into the face of the young man as if reading his life and searching his character. He loved him, and he hungered to give him that peace and grace and joy which would materially change his character. And Jesus looked steadfastly into his eyes, and he says, young man, one thing thou lackest. And he said, go thy ways, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Christ was drawn to this young man. He knew him to be sincere in his assertion. All these things have I kept from my youth, the young man says. All those stuff. The Redeemer longed to create in him that discernment which would enable him to see the necessity of heart devotion and Christian goodness. He longed to see in him a humble and contrite heart, conscious of the supreme love to be given to God, and hiding its lack in the perfection of Christ. Jesus saw in the ruler just the help he needed if the young man would become a collaborator with him in the work of salvation. If he would place himself under Christ's guidance, he would be a power for good. In a marked degree, the ruler could have represented Christ, for he possessed qualifications which, if he were united with the Savior, would enable him to become a divine force among men. And so Christ, seeing into his character, loved him. Love for Christ was awakening in the ruler's heart. For love begets love. Love begets love. Jesus longed to see him, a co-worker with him. He longed to make him like himself, a mirror in which the likeness of God would be reflected. He longed to develop the excellence of his character and sanctify it to the master's use. If the ruler had then taken himself to Christ, he would have grown in the atmosphere of his presence. If he had made this choice, how different would have been his future? One thing thou lackest, Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast all and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Christ read the ruler's heart. Can't get away, couldn't get away from him. Christ read the ruler's heart. Only one thing he lacked. But that was a vital principle. He needed the love of God in the soul. This lack, unless supplied, would definitely prove fatal to him. His whole nature would become corrupt by indulgence, selfishness would strengthen, that he might receive the love of God. His supreme love of self must be surrendered. So Christ gave this man a test. He called upon him to choose between heavenly treasure and worldly greatness. The heavenly treasure was assured him if he would follow Christ. But first, self must yield. His will must be given into Christ's control. The very holiness of God was offered to the young ruler. He had the privilege of becoming a son of God and a co-heir with Christ to the heavenly treasure. But he must first take up the cross and follow the Savior in the path of self-denial. Christ's words were verily to the ruler the invitation choose you this day whom ye will serve. Joshua 24:15. The choice was left with him. Jesus was yearning for his conversion. He had shown him the plague spot in his character, and with what deep interest he watched the issue as the young man weighed the question if he decided to follow Christ. He must obey his words in everything. If he decided to, he must obey his words in everything. He must therefore turn from his ambitious projects with what earnest, anxious longing, what soul hunger did the Savior look at the young man, hoping that he would yield to the invitation of the Spirit of God. Christ made the only terms which could place the ruler where he would perfect a Christian character. Let me say it again. Christ made the only terms which could place the ruler where he would perfect a Christian character. His words were words of wisdom. Though they appeared severe and exacting, in accepting and obeying them was the ruler's only hope of salvation. His exalted position and his possessions were exerting a subtle influence for evil upon his character. And therefore, if cherished, they would supplant God in his affections. To keep back little or much from God was to retain that which would lessen his moral strength and efficiency. For if the things of this world are cherished, however uncertain and unworthy they may be, they will become all absorbing. The ruler was very quick to discern all that Christ was involved. All the words of Christ was really deep, and he became sad. If he had realized the value of the offered gift, quickly would he have enrolled himself as one of Christ's followers. He was a member of the honored council of the Jews, and Satan was tempting him with flattering prospects of the future. He wanted the heavenly treasure, but he wanted also the temporal advantages his riches would bring him. He would just want to be head over all, rule over all. He was sorry that such conditions existed. He desired eternal life, but he was not willing to make the sacrifice. It is an old saying, If you want something that you never had, you have to do something that you never did. It's a yin and yang. It's a cost. It's going to be costly. The cost of eternal life seemed too great. And the young ruler sorrowfully went away. For he had great possessions. He didn't want to part with his possessions. No. He just wanted to have people come to look up to him and beg him. Couldn't bear giving up on his possessions to follow Christ. His claim was that he had kept the law of God was a deception. That is what he came up with. He showed that riches were his idol. Definitely. He showed it clear. He could not keep the commandments of God while the world was forced in his affections. He loved the gifts of God more than he loved the giver. He loved the gifts of God more than he loved the giver. Christ had offered a young man fellowship with himself. So Christ says, follow me. But the Savior was not so much to him as his own name among men or his possessions. To give up his earthly treasure that was seen for the heavenly treasure that was unseen was too great a risk. He refused the offer of eternal life and went away, and ever after the world was to receive his worship. Thousands are passing through this ordeal as I speak, weighing crisis against the world, and many choose the world. Like the young ruler, they turn from the Savior, saying in their hearts, I will not have this man as my leader. Christ's dealing with the young man is presented as an object lesson. God has given us the rule of conduct which every one of his servants must follow. It is obedience to his law, not merely a legal obedience, but an obedience which enters into the life and the exemplified in the character. God has set his own standard of character for all who would become subject of his kingdom. Only those who will become co-workers with Christ. Only those who will say, Lord, all I have and all I am is thine. That would be acknowledged as sons and daughters of God. All should consider what it means to desire human and yet to turn away because of conditions laid down. Think of what it means to say, no to Christ. Think. The ruler said, no, I cannot give you all. The question is, do we say the same? Do you, listener, say the same? The Savior offers to share with us the work God has given to us to do. He offers to use the means God has given us to carry forward his work in the world. Only in this way can he save us. Only in this way he can really save us. The ruler's possessions were entrusted to him that he might prove himself a faithful servant and steward. He was to dispense these goods for the blessings of those in need. So God now entrusts men with means, with talents and opportunities, that they may be his agents in helping the poor and the suffering. He who uses his entrusted gifts as God designs becomes a co-worker with the Savior. He wins souls to Christ because he is a representative of his character. To those who, like the young ruler, are in high positions of trust and have great possessions, it may seem too great a sacrifice to give up all in order to follow Christ. But this is the rule of conduct for all who would become his disciples. Nothing short of obedience can be accepted. Nothing. Again, nothing short of obedience can be accepted. Self-surrender is the substance of the teaching of Christ. And often it is presented and enjoined in the language that seems authoritative, because there is no other way to save man than to cut away those things which, if entertained, will demoralize the whole being. When Christ's followers give back to the Lord his own, they are accumulating treasure which will be given to them when they shall hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look it up in Matthew 25:23, Hebrews 12, verse 2. So the joy of seeing souls redeemed, souls eternally saved, is the reward of all that put their feet in the footprints of him who said, follow me. Who said, follow me. If you want something that you never had, you must do something that you never did. The young ruler could not see himself parting with his possessions and follow Christ. The Bible says, whatsoever a man, you know, fight for in this world, and you know, and he will give up salvation. If you really want something that you never had, you've got to do something that you never did. Christ said, give up your possessions, sell all what you have, lay down everything that you have, take up your cross, and follow me. This is the beckoning words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you follow Christ today? Will you give up on the things that burdens you? The things of the world that will be fleeting? Will you give up eternal salvation and continue to delve in the things of the world? I urge you, I beg you not to do it. Think of it and give Christ a chance in your life. May God richly bless you and your family. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon you and follow you and protect you from all harm and danger. May the Holy Spirit walk in your heart and you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God bless you. From heaven to earth, God bless you. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
If this ministry has been a blessing and helped you through the Word of God, please donate. There's a donate button at the top of the show page. Any amount would be welcomed. Thank you in advance. This money will help keep the program Good News airing on BBS Radio. Remember, Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved."